I remember a time back when I was a teenager. My mom and dad went out to eat with some people for a work dinner. And they went to a much fancier restaurant than we were accustomed to. And my dad told me later that when he went in with just a shirt and slacks on, that the maitre d', I guess, told him, "Sir, I think you'd be more comfortable in a tie." And so he brought him one that he could put on. And of course, if you knew my dad, he probably wanted to say, I really prefer to be uncomfortable. But the question is, you know, how often are situations in human life, how often are they win-win situations? Because most of the time, if one person is more comfortable, it means that someone else is less comfortable. So whose comfort matters most? And by what measure do we gauge comfort? As Christian human beings in our American culture, we certainly live in a place of conflicting definitions of comfort. And yet Isaiah says to us today, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." And then later in the reading it says, a voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" As Christian human beings, we are called amid our physical comfort to be uncomfortable with the way the world is today, to cry out when the world does not treat God's people with tenderness and compassion. Bringing comfort to God's people requires us to live in the discomfort of the wilderness in a way. If we are to prepare the way of God, way for God in this world, we cannot continue to make peace with the world as it is. In Advent especially, we see the conflicted nature of human life lived in the knowledge and service of God. We have the comfort of God that goes beyond this life, a comfort brought by our Messiah. And yet we live in exile while we wait for the expected Messiah, in exile with people who cannot even bear to hope for something better because they know nothing of God. The gospel reading, the Gospel of Mark, starts with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the beginning of a story which gives us Christian hope, the hope that God ultimately will win, yet a hope that works constantly in the wilderness to prepare the way and speed the arrival of the Messiah to all people. The message that we hear from John the Baptist in the Gospels is not just a message of comfort. It is a message of comfort and of reprimand. And his message is inspired by the words of Isaiah. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." A voice says, "Cry out," and I said, "What shall I cry?" What should we cry? Leave the world alone? I'm comfortable. Or turn the world upside down? Too many people live in want. This ambivalence that we feel as Christians today is not new. For when Mark's gospel was written in about 70, there was a revolt going on. As one source said, some saw God raising up leaders to push the infidels from the Holy Land, and others urged submission to Rome as the path to peace and security. Everyone was anxious, caught between resentment of heavy-handed soldiers and fear of extremist guerrillas. What are we caught between in our time and place? We're caught between peer pressure and societal pressure and pressure for conspicuous consumption, between our desire for personal comfort and yet our understanding that we should be uncomfortable with the inequity and imbalance of our world. For every Christian who is uncomfortable with the way the world is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." But we need to be careful. It's not a simple matter of the pious leading the great unwashed to God. John the Baptist tells us to repent first so that we can prepare the way for God. In other words, we don't need to ask God to fix them and leave us alone. We first need to ask God to forgive us for our self-righteousness, our hubris, our condescension in thinking that only the others need to change. One commentary says, "This scripture proclaims hope for troubled souls and judgment for the self-assured." We pray about such things in our collect for 2 Advent, which says, "Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation." We are to repent and then prepare the way, because then we are equipped to prepare the way for God. Many of us, myself included, claim that the world as it is not right. And yet, does something of our own lives and lifestyles contribute to that not rightness? This thought came home to me very clearly on Thanksgiving morning when we went down to Voice of Calvary to help feed people who are homeless and in need. Most of us had multiple options, places we could go to be with loved ones and have full meals. And yet we saw at that place a whole class of people who, if we're not careful, can be invisible to us, who don't have enough to eat, who have no loved ones, who have no safe place to sleep. We are comfortable, perhaps more because we did our part for the other. And yet perhaps we should choose to be uncomfortable that such others even exist in our society. God offers us comfort and judgment simultaneously. We find comfort. Someone dies and we are comforted that that person is with God. Someone becomes ill and we find comfort in knowing that they can be healed even if they cannot be cured. Someone loses everything material and we find comfort in knowing that the love of God and neighbor outlasts anything in this mortal world. And yet we must be challenged, uncomfortable, first of all, in knowing that many people in our world have no idea of the comfort of God. They face illness and death alone, for they do not know of God. They see material loss as the end because they don't know that the love of God lasts beyond everything and has value beyond everything. So yes, bringing comfort to God's people requires us to live in the discomfort of the wilderness. If we are to prepare the way for God in this world, we cannot continue to make peace with the way the world is. We know the truth, that the love of God lives and lasts beyond anything in this world, and that truth comforts us. But it should also make us uncomfortable with the polarization and the meanness of our world. There is a place in John's Gospel where Jesus says to Peter, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." A writer named Ronald Rollheiser says of that passage, "You are baptized, consecrated, set aside, derailed, and your perfectly legitimate agenda has to be suspended, not because it is wrong, but because something higher has usurped your freedom." I don't like the sound of that at all. I'm comfortable, God. Do I really need to repent, to change, and to push the world to change? Don't make me go to those places I do not wish to go. Don't put that belt around me, even if it is, to take me to those higher places you have called me. And yet Isaiah says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." A voice says, "Cry out," And I said, what shall I cry? What should we cry? Leave the world alone, I'm comfortable. Or turn the world upside down. I cry for eternity, for equality, for justice, and for mercy. Even if achieving those things disrupts my comfortable place in the status quo. I live between two forces, the urge to make peace with oppression and the urge to rock the boat in the name of God. I have to admit, I hate the way the world is. I'm comforted, but not comfortable. Thanks be to God, I'm not comfortable. And that is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.